Well, happy Thanksgiving a few days early to all of you. I hope it's a blessed time. I know that it's often a family time, and I hope that if you have family nearby, that you're going to have a wonderful time with them, and that when Thanksgiving is over, you're going to love each other more and not less. I hope that you have a blessed time in your home, and I hope that you make it truly a time of giving thanks to God. Well, we've come into His presence and gathered in His name to worship Him. This is our opportunity corporately, as covenant fellowship, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship the Lord, to adore Him, to love Him, to praise Him. Let's prepare ourselves totally as we come to Him now in silent prayer. Rid yourself of all distractions. Pray to Him. Really, right now, pray to Him. And let us prepare. Let us pray. Our call to worship today comes from one of the great psalms of thanksgiving, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His
pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Amen. Let us stand together. Heavenly Father, we do indeed give You thanks once again for the privilege we have of coming together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to worship at His feet, to bring honor and glory to Him. And we call upon You, O God, to fulfill Your promise to be present here, for we are indeed gathered in His name. May Your face shine upon us as we worship You in spirit and truth. And now please hear us, God, as we pray the prayer Your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
The scripture reading from the Old Testament is from 1 Chronicles 16. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done.
Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts.
Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. O descendants of Israel, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name.
Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness.
Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved.
Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them.
Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His love endures forever.
adoration to whom? To the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives every good gift to his children. Hallelujah. Can anybody say hallelujah? Yes, we do say hallelujah in this church. Hallelujah. I'm reading from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 15. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. May God add understanding to the reading of his wonderful word. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, thank you that because of you and your touch, we have seen the light. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, that we know that light, Jesus the Christ, the light of this world and the light of our lives. Lord, may we reflect that light in our deeds, in our words, in our thoughts, in our face, in our eyes, in our touch. May we be your light in this dark world, so much in need of it. And Lord, we confess to you that sometimes we feel crushed. We feel that we are in despair. We feel abandoned. We even feel sometimes destroyed. But Lord, those are only feelings. And in fact, your strength is sufficient for anything, anything that we face. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail to call upon your strength, when we fail to turn to you and ask and seek and knock and believe. Lord, we pray as you have instructed for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that your glory may somehow be revealed in the conflict that we hear about and read about. We pray for the people on both sides of the conflict, for the terror, for the anger, for the greed, for the lack of love. We pray, Lord, for all of them. And Lord, we do pray for protection for your chosen people. And again, for the peace of Jerusalem. And we ask for your guidance, Lord, in terms of our own pilgrimage there. We pray that this is the time. We pray that the doors will be open. We pray for safety now, then, and in the future. But Lord, may we be open to your guidance. You are in control of the world. You've got the whole world in your hands. You've got every detail in your hands. Thank you. What a wonderful God. Lord, many of us are here today with loved ones, with friends. All of us are surrounded by brothers and sisters in the Lord. May we now pray with thanksgiving for our loved ones, our friends, and our brothers and our sisters. Lord, I do pray that as we come to this holiday, we will make it a holy day, and that we will give you thanks for all that you have done, for our lives, for the blessings we enjoy in this nation, for our health, for our provisions, our homes, your guidance, and for the beauty of this wonderful world that you have given to us, Lord. Open our eyes afresh that we may see you all around us with your wonderful creation. The creation of your word, let there be. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that your word will now bless us, encourage us, and convict us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. That loud ring that you heard in your ears a moment ago was my fault, not Steve's. I motioned to Elizabeth, and I tried to give her hand signals and said, I need some water. And I had a water bottle over here, and she thought I needed a folder that was on the chair. And she got it, and Lois saw it, and she thought, oh, maybe I was supposed to give him back that folder. So Lois started over here with it, and I thought, I'll help her out. So I went over. I'm not going to do it now. And I got in front of the speaker. You just can't trust anybody, can you? I've heard some people say that if there is a theme for the current generation today, or maybe a chant, it would probably be, gratify me now. Gratify me now. Now, maybe we shouldn't fault the younger generation and the kids for that, because look at how they grew up. Phone calls were too slow, so they had to have text messaging, which is instant. No need to stand in line to buy a movie ticket. You can buy it on your iPhone immediately. The smartphones they have this year are so last year. They need to get the latest and the greatest and the fastest. I understand that. Most kids today even talk faster than my brain can comprehend. And on, are you listening, kids? And on television, the dialogue has gotten faster. Have you noticed? Sometimes I have to rewind just so I can figure out what they were saying on television. And of course, I pre-record most of my television shows, and I have to admit that I fast-forward the commercials with that little button there. You know, the condition of gratify me now is contagious. It has attacked just about everyone in our culture of every age, male, female alike. People get frustrated if they have to wait 45 seconds for their fast food. They go to a table restaurant. They want the beverage on their table within 1 minute, and they want the entree within 10. And they start grumbling if it's not. The moment the light turns green, somebody honks their horn, move your car. Has that ever happened to you? They grumble if the line moves too slowly when they're boarding the airplane. Then they grumble if the airplane sits on the runway for 20 minutes. And then if they fly from East Coast to West Coast, they grumble if they're 30 minutes late getting across the country. Even Walt Disney had to put in a fast pass in order to please the generation. And in Epcot, he had to build the test track so that children could go 60 miles an hour with the wind blowing in their face in a car. We live in an amazing an amazing technological age. Everything is advancing quickly. We've talked about that before. It's a world of instant gratification. It reminds me of one of our pets, and you probably have one too, that loves to have a treat. And that pet wants that treat now. Feed me now. Feed me now. I see that. Okay. We wag our tails, we bark, and we meow, saying, feed me now, feed me now. But how often do we stop and marvel at the advances that we enjoy, the conveniences that we enjoy in this technological age in which we live, and marvel at them with gratitude? You know, God gave us our bodies. God gave us our souls. God gave us our reason. God gave us our senses. And God has allowed all these wonderful discoveries to come forth, all this creativity that the scientific world has, everything that enhances our lives. God has allowed it to happen in perfect timing, and we enjoy the most technologically advanced country perhaps in the world, the best nation in the world, but we still bark and meow because we want to move fast. We want to move faster to the point that sometimes we struggle with even being grateful. Instead, we grumble. Grumble. I understand that in parts of Mexico, there are places where there are hot springs and cold springs side by side. The women go to these hot springs. It's very convenient. They can wash their clothes in the hot springs, then turn around and come to the cold springs to rinse their clothes. A tourist was there talking to a guide, and he said, the women must be very grateful to have this convenience, the hot spring and the cold spring right here. And the guide said, no, 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 senor. They grumble much because Mother Nature does not give them soap. How is your attitude of gratitude? How is it? The Bible tells us that when they gave thanks, they broke bread. Do you give thanks before your meal? Do you bow your head and pray before you receive the food that God provides? Is that your first step? Did you ever hear of the Pastor Reverend Harry Ironside? He was a Canadian theologian, a preacher, a teacher, an author. And one day, he went into a very crowded restaurant. There were hardly any tables available, but he was blessed to get a table. And he was sitting at the table all alone, and he ordered his food, and his food arrived at the table. At that very moment, a man who couldn't find a seat saw this single gentleman sitting there enjoying, about to enjoy his meal, and he walked over to Reverend Ironside and he said, is this seat taken? Could I join you? I can't find a table. Sure, he said, have a seat. And then the next thing that Reverend Ironside did was he bowed his head in silent prayer and he thanked God for his food. And then he raised his head and the stranger said, excuse me, but is something wrong with your food? No, he said, nothing's wrong with my food. I was simply thanking God for my food. The man said, oh, you're one of those, are you? Well, you know what? I never give thanks. I work hard for all of my money. I sweat, and I don't have to give thanks. I just start right in eating. And he said, yes, just like my dog. Elizabeth and I almost always pray before we eat, even in public restaurants, where I have discovered many Christians are afraid, ashamed, embarrassed to bow their heads and take hands and thank God for the food they're about to receive. If you ever go to a public restaurant with Elizabeth and me, brace yourself, we're going to pray. And that reminds me, today is the day that we get to go with Steve and Alice Bowen to lunch, to brunch here at Turf Valley, to celebrate the fact that they brought the most guests during October's Bring a Guest Month. Steve and Alice, we're going to pray, aren't we? Yeah. They already know that. They already do that. Did you know that being grateful is actually better for your health? You're a healthier person when you are a grateful person. I read this somewhere. It says that some studies show that grateful people are happier people, more satisfied people, more forgiving people, more supportive people. On the negative side, they're less depressed. They're less stressed. They're less envious. They're less anxious. According to a journal called Personality and Individual Differences, the more grateful a person is, the higher their feeling of well-being. And that often translates into better health. Makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, makes sense. Perhaps that's one of the reasons that God told us through the Apostle Paul to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, I know, we know, we live in a time of economic challenges. This country is going through economic challenges. The world is going through economic challenges. We live in a time of political upheaval. The world is full of unanswered questions about what is going to be, what are the boundaries going to be in the future? Not just in Israel, but in our own country. I mean, the election, people, well, let's don't go there. Sometimes in the midst of the challenges of day-to-day living, even in this blessed nation, we forget to be grateful, to say thank you. Well, let me tell you about a man by the name of Martin Reinhart. Martin Reinhart was a Lutheran minister, and he lived in the 1600s. He lived in a walled city in Germany called Eilenburg. It's just northeast of Leipzig. One of the longest and most destructive wars in history, the 30 Years' War. 30 Years' War took place during his lifetime. Eilenburg, Germany became a refuge for refugees and fugitives, and the result was behind those walls, there was overcrowding, there was famine, and there was disease. Reverend Reinhart opened his home to many of the refugees, even though he was struggling to feed his own family. And then, on top of it all, the Black Plague hit, and people started dying in droves. There were only 4 ministers behind those walls. One of them fled, leaving 3. Shortly after that, Reverend Reinhart buried the only 2 remaining ministers on the same day. He became the sole surviving pastor of a people who were suffering and dying all around him. And he started conducting countless funerals. In 1 year, in 1637, he conducted 4,480 burials, including his own wife. It was in the midst of that horror that he wrote these words, "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices." Rejoices! Can you imagine the irony of what I'm sharing? He went on, "Who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." Wow. You know, if I had lived in Eilenburg during the plague and the 30 Years' War, I don't know that I could have written words like that. If I lived on the Jersey Shore after Sandy, I don't know if I could say, thank you, God, in all circumstances. How many of us thank God when our fast food is slow? How many of us thank God when our plane is delayed? How many of us thank God when our bills exceed our income? How many of us thank God when our son or our daughter breaks our heart? How many of us thank God when we see our grandchildren suffering through a bitter divorce? How many thank God when our physical pain becomes chronic? How many of us thank God when we lose the ability to walk freely and stand without pain and enjoy the life that we used to enjoy earlier? How many of us thank God when we bury a loved one? As in Jonah 2:9, but I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you, Lord. What I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Margaret Visser wrote a book in 2009. It's called The Gift of Thanks, The Roots and Rituals of Gratitude. In it, she studied various cultures around the world and their traditions of giving thanks. And she said that with the Japanese society, when a Japanese person is given a gift, they don't say thank you. Instead, they say, I'm sorry. And the meaning of that, the explanation of that is, I am fully aware of my debt to you. I can never repay it. Perhaps we should consider that when we realize what God has given to us. We should at least say to him, I'm sorry. I am fully aware of my debt to you, Lord. I can never repay it. Now thank we all our God. In Luke 7, beginning in verse 36, there's a remarkable story within a story, and here's the text. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. And this is the story within the story. It begins in verse 41. Jesus said, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had a bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. How much has the Lord forgiven you? And you know what? As I look around this room, there are a lot of old people in it. The older you are, the more time you've had to pile up the sins. Well, have you provided water for his feet? Have you kissed him? Have you worshipped him? Have you thanked him? The greater your sin, the more your forgiveness, and the greater should be your gratitude. You know what? Some of you probably have bird feeders in the backyard. How many have bird feeders? Okay. On those bird feeders, there are often a lot of perches. And a number of birds come and they get onto those perches and they enjoy the feed that you provide for them. You bought the feeder, you bought the seed, you put the feed into the bird feeder, and you watch with joy as the birds flock around and chirp with joy, enjoying that food, until a bigger bird comes along. And the bigger bird starts chasing the other birds away. They fly to the trees and they start chirping, chirping, chirping. That's my feed. That's my feed. Be gone, be gone, be gone. Until a squirrel comes along. And pretty soon, the squirrel takes over and even the big birds go to the trees. They start chirping and they say, squirrel, go away, squirrel, go away. That's my feed. That's my feeder. Both the birds and the squirrels are wrong. That's your feeder. You bought it. You supplied it. You gave it to them. But they think it's mine, mine, mine. You can tell it just came back from Disney, can't you? Well, God provides for us, and sometimes we forget that he provided it. And we start fighting over it. We start grumbling. Not one bird, not one squirrel even looks at you as the provider of that feeder with gratitude. Think how God feels when he gives us so much and so few of his children even look to him in gratitude. 1 Chronicles 16:8, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. I want to tell you about Alexander White. He was a Scottish preacher. And his tradition was that he opened every worship service every Sunday morning with a prayer thanking God for that day. Well, one day, as the people were coming to church, it was cold, it was bitter, it wasn't raining, it was icing. The wind was blowing. People were miserable. It was a miserable day. And they thought, I wonder what the pastor is going to say in his opening prayer today. Well, the pastor stood into the pulpit and he said, we thank thee, O Lord, that it is not always like this. That's a good model for you and me. Whatever bad things you are facing right now in your life, it's not always like this. Find something for which you can be truly grateful and give God thanks even if your life is cold and bitter right now. When your gratitude is focused on the goodness of God, then your thanksgiving turns into thanksgiving. You ever heard that? Thanksgiving turns into thanksgiving. When you realize that God has given you another day of life, live it triumphantly. Don't you wake up some mornings and say, oh, made it another day. Thank you, God. When you realize that God has given you talents, use them for others and for God. When you realize that others have done wonderful things for you, turn around and do wonderful things for others. Pay it forward, as they say. When you realize that you are happy, make it your goal to make somebody else happy. When you realize you're grumpy, go back to bed. When you realize how beautiful the world is, find some way to nurture it and enjoy it and perpetuate it for others to enjoy its beauty. When you realize that you have been uplifted by something inspirational, then find some way to bring inspiration to somebody else. They need it too. Turn your thanksgiving into thanksgiving. A Jewish philanthropist by the name of Sir Moses Montefiore coined a motto for his family, and this was the motto: think and thank. Say it with me. Think and thank. Now, in the old Anglo-Saxon language, the word thankfulness means thankfulness. When you think about what God has done for you, the result is that you are drawn to thankfulness. Think and thank. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! As we close, I want to give you a challenge. This is a homework assignment. Gwen, do you get homework? Elena, do you get homework? Joseph, do you get homework? A lot? Yeah? Okay. You get homework? Okay, Miranda. I'm going to give us all homework. This Thanksgiving, whether you're in your home or somebody else's home, think and thank. Now, that's a general overall challenge. Now I'm going to give you two specific homework assignments. I want you to count the number of servings that you put on your plate. Turkey, potatoes, stuffing, vegetables, cranberries. That's five right there, all right? I want you to count the number of servings you put on your plate, and then I want you to think of that same number of things for which you can give thanks and share it with one another. And if you go back for seconds, you got to double the number. Second, for every 10 minutes that you watch television on Thanksgiving Day, I challenge you to pray to God for 10 seconds. Now that translates this way: for every hour that you watch TV, you're going to spend at least one full minute in prayer to God. If you watch a three-hour football game, that translates into 3 minutes of prayer. Is that too much? Is that too little? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, you have poured out from heaven blessings on us. And we're just like those birds and those squirrels. Lord, help us to remember not just this Thursday, but every day, that we are to give thanks to you in all circumstances, to the glory of Jesus Christ and in his name. Amen. Let's stand. And now we come to the most joyful time of our service, when we have the privilege of giving back to God. Let us give cheerfully. Please be seated. Let our praise spill out into the streets. Let us stand and praise God.